Thanks for listening to Schlereth than Evans On Demand, brought to you by Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. If you're in the market for replacement windows, there's only one place to turn. That's Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. Visit them online at windowsforyourhome.com.
Are you ready?
Let's clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
He's gone from suck to blow.
What?
You know, the NFL, they come out with this top 100, and every year the players vote on it, and they've gotten down to the final, 10 players or so, and it's always fun. It's kind of fun to watch in there. Well, one Bronco that is in that top 10, Von Miller. He's the guy in that top 10. And I will tell you, he'll probably end up at, 7 or 8 or 6, somewhere in there. But I would say this. You know, for all you guys that follow this and all you guys that love this, there's things that annoy me about this top 10 thing. Von Miller is a top player. One, the quarterbacks annoy me being in this because they play quarterback. I don't, football, I don't know. But, whatever, they're quarterbacks, and I get it. It's a different deal. There's part of me, I guess maybe it's jealousy, but there's part of me that's that guy's a great quarterback, but I don't necessarily qualify him as a football player. You know what I'm saying? That's just kind of where I'm at. So I'd like to see Von Miller be in that top 5 category. I'd like to see, I wouldn't have any problem whatsoever if Aaron Donald was number 1 and Von Miller was 2 or 3. And put the quarterbacks on the back end of that because they're not, they don't get hit. They don't have to hit anybody. They throw. Because there's a difference. There's just a difference there to me. So that's kind of where I would like to. I'd like to see Von Miller. I don't think he will crack the top 5 because we live in this fantasy football day and age where it's Julio Jones and Antonio Brown and how many catches do you have and Le'Veon Bell and how many carries and how many catches and all this stuff. And it's, these quarterbacks, Tom Brady, the greatest that's ever played. I'd like to see this strictly to football players, not quarterbacks. Different category for me, football players. And the football players, Von Miller is probably right there in the top 3. And that's what I would like to see. You'll probably never see it, but he'll just show it to you every Sunday when he puts his cleats on the grass.
That was awesome.
Clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
Yeah, Stink, I've got a real problem with the NFL Network top 100 list anyway.
Where are you on the quarterbacks? I know people get irritated with me and I get that Brady is a great quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback, and I understand the value they have to their teams, and that's always everybody's deal. Well, if you lose, you lose Aaron Rodgers, you're not a playoff team. With Aaron Rodgers, you are a playoff team. He's worth, 5 wins or however they quantify it.
Right.
And they say, so he's the best player. And I'm always like, it's different because, he's playing quarterback. He's not the best football player. He's a great football player. Don't get me wrong. But the quarterback is just it's a different animal for me. It's hard for me to put all those quarterbacks in there.
You're getting dangerous though here, Stink. Here's why, because you'll give NFL Network an idea to do another top list.
Right.
Of quarterbacks only and then football players. Yeah, okay, I get it.
Right.
This whole entire process that we go through every single year, it's like, oh man, come on. It used to be interesting to me, but the year Chris Harris wasn't on the list, I was like, yeah, I'm done. I don't want to think about this. I don't want to talk about it. And, Von Miller's in the top 10 now. Fantastic. But, how many players take this seriously? How many players are actually sitting down and crunching the numbers? I think Alex Smith, and I'm no Alex Smith fan, Alex Smith wasn't in this year's top 100. Come on.
Right. Yeah. Kirk Cousins. I'm with you. I don't think they take it really seriously, but I just have a tough time. You look at Vaughn, you look at Aaron Donald, you look at those guys. When you put them on film, dude, they're ridiculous. You see the bench press video Aaron Donald did the other day?
Aaron Donald could be easily the number 1 player in the league.
Oh yeah.
Easily.
So Aaron Donald, has this bench press video of 495. And, you know, Aaron Donald's not like I did a game last year and the Broncos see him week six. Aaron Donald is, you know, he's probably what, 6'1" tops.
Yeah. I remember him at the Senior Bowl. He's not, you know, a mountain of a man.
No.
He's not tall.
Right. He's put together now, but he's probably 6'1" ish, maybe 280, 285.
Mm hmm.
And he's got 405 on the bench, or I mean, excuse me, 495 on the bench. Just, whoop, easy. Just like, okay, that's good. I mean, he's an impressive cat, man. Impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. So they need to rethink that, because what are the chances Aaron Donald is number one?
Zero chance. I think right now he's the best. I think he's the best player in the National Football League.
Certainly the most disruptive. And
yes.
One the Rams will end up paying a large chunk of money to.
Pay that man his money.
Well, they need to pay him a big chunk of money because the dude is a beast.
Yeah, it's disruptive. I think when we look at this top 10 list, who's the most disruptive player? Von Miller's up there, but Aaron Donald's number one. You know, Julio Jones.
Right.
Who would take a receiver over Von Miller or Aaron Donald? Like, who would do that out there? You're starting a team. You're going to start it with a receiver. We should know better than that, right?
We should, but, you know, most people don't. But I'm 100%. You know, fantasy numbers are great. I love disruptive on the line of scrimmage players. And anytime you can get a guy, you know, that can get after those quarterbacks and create havoc, then you've got a guy that you can count on, and I'm a big believer in that, as you know, as the line of scrimmage is really the kind of thing that if you don't have that, you're gonna have a tough time regardless of how good your receivers are or how good your running back is or how good your quarterback is. If you can't dominate lines of scrimmage, you're gonna have a tough time winning.
Well, I'm a big believer in that this time of year, which everyone is like, oh, it's the slow time of year, and let's go down a bunch of lists. Top five reasons why John Elway kicks ass. That's next.
Right.
Like, come on now. Everyone gets lazy this time of year. Like, let's just do a list. Let's go over a list. Let's make the top five arcade games or whatever. Like, just dumb stuff. Like, come on now. There's so much to get to. So much to talk about players like Von Miller, about this upcoming season. Yeah, it's not time to get lazy. It's time to get, let's get deep, Mark Schlatt.
Right. Well, you know, and the interesting thing, you know, you talk about Von Miller, you talk about, like, disruptive players, and I always looked at, like, from a pass rushing standpoint, guys that have the ability to do multiple things well. Because you can always study film, and you can always find a way to take away one thing. And the dudes who are really go-to guy, one-trick pony guy, like, you can handle that dude. But it's the dude that can go from speed to power, power to speed, counter inside, dip and rip. You know, and I'm essentially giving you, you know, Von Miller 101. Those guys are unblockable. And there's very few of those guys that exist. And, you know, we have one here in Denver. And, you know, I know people get upset when he gets 11 sacks, like, oh, my gosh, that's horrible. He had a down year.
Right.
And you're like,
right.
Dude, you ever watch what he, like, you ever watch the, one, you only get about 12 legitimate opportunities to rush the passer any game anyhow. Nowadays, with everything is a three-step drop and bubble screen right and bubble screen left and, you know, quick slant here and shallow, you know, shallow cross and all that kind of stuff. But so you're only getting, you know, like I said, a dozen opportunities to rush the passer in the first place. And then, you know, on those dozen, he's getting double and triple teamed.
Plenty of impact there from Von Miller. We'll see where he ends up in the top 10. We'll see if Bradley Chubb can make a Von Miller type of impact. And what does Bucky Brooks think about the Broncos' newly signed rookie? That's next. Broncos get Bradley Chubb signed yesterday, $18.1 million signing bonus, 4-year, $27 million contract as well. And Bucky Brooks, friend of Stink, joins us from NFL Network. Bucky, good morning. What are the Broncos getting in Bradley Chubb?
I think they're getting the best defensive player that was in the draft. I think when you look at
Bradley Chubb. I think Bradley Chubb has the potential to be a dominant player on the level of even Amari Williams. When you think about his size, his first step quickness, his nasty temperament, and his nonstop motor, he is everything that you look for in an edge player. And to pair him opposite of Von Miller, I think what you've done is recreate the bookends that made their defense a championship caliber defense the last couple of years.
When you're playing a guy like that and they're playing him at outside linebacker rush end, how imperative do you think it is to essentially keep him rushing the quarterback as many times as possible? I mean, how tough is that transition when you're asking him to do multiple things? I know he did some as a sophomore. He played some outside linebacker, but he's been mostly a hand in the dirt guy. How tough is that transition?
You know, I think if the Broncos are smart, I think what you do is you ask your players to do what they do really well. And what I've seen Bradley Chubb do really well is rush the quarterback. He came to NC State as an outside linebacker, but he makes his living putting his hand in the dirt, coming off the edge. I think maybe occasionally, one out of 100 times, you have him drop just to throw off an offensive tendency. But I think at the end of the day, when they go into their sub package, when they are in their nickel and the game is on the line, I think he and Von Miller are coming off the edges and they're hunting the quarterback. I wouldn't expect to see him in coverage much. I think they drafted him to be a designated pass rusher. I think he and Von Miller can be terrific as a tandem.
He's Bucky Brooks, NFL Network, of course, ex-NFL player and NFL scout as well. Bucky, when we look at Bradley Chubb and we look at what he can bring to this defense, I want to ask you about a second-round pick from last year, DeMarcus Walker, a guy that was a terror himself getting after the passer. Broncos tried to stand him up at outside linebacker last year. Didn't work. He's going back to defensive end. He's back to 280 pounds. Is there, you know, an added bonus there for getting this guy back to maybe a more natural position this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing you're trying to do, and sometimes it's a debate between front offices and coaches, when you're looking at players, front offices may envision a player being something else, the coaching staff may see him in another light. I think at the end of the day, what you're trying to do is put players in their best spot. What the Broncos are trying to attempt is, you saw the Philadelphia Eagles win because they had a wave of pass rushers that they could throw at guys from different spots. So much of the game now is played in your sub package. Your nickel personnel is on the field. If you have guys that maybe outside linebackers that can move inside and the like, you want to put those guys inside so they can work on a weak link, maybe at guard. And so I think what you're going to see in these critical situations where they need to get off the field, they need to get after the quarterback, you may see the Broncos' four best pass rushers regardless of position on the field. But, yeah, I certainly think it helps to move DeMarcus Walker back to his natural position, allow him to do what made him great when he was coming out of college.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed following you, not only NFL Network, but just stuff that you have done on NFL.com and all the things you write, and especially when you're talking coverage and you're talking DBs, you know, I always perk up and listen because you're an expert. And so I would ask you this, the transition now, no more Aqib Talib. Bradley Roby goes from being their nickel guy, not in the slot, but, you know, covering that number two receiver. Now all of a sudden he's going to be asked to fill that that Aqib Talib role. You've watched this guy, you've studied him since college. Does he have the ability to seamlessly transition to that role, or are we going to see some possible growing pains here?
No, I think that Roby can certainly handle that transition. He's been in the league long enough to kind of go through all the growing pains associated with playing on the perimeter. We saw in Super Bowl 50, in the run to Super Bowl 50, he was one of the best defensive players, the way he was able to make plays consistently throughout it. I think he's more than capable of being a guy that can be a frontline starter and even an elite player. I think the big thing for Roby is making sure he is engaged. And I think by moving him up, Aqib Talib is not there, but moving him up, asking him maybe to travel to match up with some of the bigger, more physical receivers, I think that will keep him engaged because he knows he has to concentrate each and every week. And there is something about being a defender who knows you're going to check the top receiver, because you know the ball is still going to go their way. You're going to be on your P's and Q's. I think moving him up may actually stimulate Roby to the point that he plays at the Pro Bowl level that many of us felt like he had inside. We've just been waiting for it to come out.
He's Bucky Brooks, NFL Network, former NFL player and NFL scout as well, joining Schlereth and Evans this morning on The Fan. Bucky, what about Royce Freeman? This team wants to run the ball and play great defense. Well, check on the defense side. But running the ball, minus C.J. Anderson, can Royce Freeman win the job over Devontae Booker and be the lead back for the Broncos?
I think so. He's one of my sleepers coming out in the draft in terms of he landed in the right spot in Denver. Denver needs a bell cow running back, someone that can kind of handle the workload. I think Royce Freeman is underrated, was underrated in the draft process. Big physical running back. Look, he can run inside. He can run with power. But he also has a little wiggle. He can catch the ball out the backfield. This was a big-time recruit coming out of high school, a guy that really put in a yeoman's job at Oregon. I think when you put him in this backfield and you ask him to get 18 to 22 carries, I think he certainly can handle the load. I think he's going to be an upgrade at the position. I think you can hang your hat on him being one of the top guys. I remember the last couple of years we've seen guys kind of come out of nowhere to be leading rushers. I do believe there's a chance that Royce Freeman could be that guy that does some of the Kareem Hunt type things that we saw last year from the guy in Kansas City.
One question left for me, and that is Chris Harris Jr. We always feel here in Denver that Chris gets slighted, that he doesn't get the recognition he deserves. And if you blind him up against the elite corners, you know, athletically, running 40s and stuff, he probably, you know, is in the bottom part of that kind of elite corner group. But the guy just plays. He plays in the slot. He absolutely locks guys down. He is a great football player. We don't feel like he gets the credit he deserves. How do you rate Chris Harris Jr. as a cornerback in this league?
Oh, without question, he's one of the top corners in the league. I think what makes him special is the things that you point out as potential deficiencies, he's found a way to work around those things. He's not the biggest. He's not the fastest. But when you watch him play, his instincts, his technical skills, and his toughness stand out on tape to me. His ability to play anywhere in the secondary, because we've seen him in moments play safety for the Broncos. We've seen him play in the slot. We know he can play outside. There is something to having a corner that can do all of those things. I think his high IQ is going to allow him to continue to play at a high level, even though some of his physical skills may start to diminish. He is a guy that is smart enough to be able to anticipate, to read and react, and to make plays that allow him to play faster than he may test and clock when he happens in workouts.
He's Bucky Brooks, NFL Network. Follow him on Twitter, at Bucky Brooks. Bucky, final one before we let you out of here, and appreciate your time as always. Case Keenum, the Broncos wanted to trade for him when he was with the Rams. That didn't get done. Will they get their man now? Is he the right answer? Is he the fix for this Broncos offense at quarterback?
I think as long as you manage your expectations of what you're asking Case Keenum to do, if you're trying to put all the offense on him and you want him to be a consistent 300-yard-a-game thrower, I don't think that's his best light. But I think if you have a supporting cast, which the Broncos do have, in Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, where you're asking them to get the ball out quick, allow the playmakers to do work, I think he can do that. I think the guy that you'll see emerge with Case Keenum under center will be tight end Jake Butt. Jake Butt was a big-time prospect, hurt his knee in the bowl game. Last year it took him a while to come back, but now he's back and in action. If he is able to come back and work the middle of the field, I think you'll see Case Keenum target him a lot because that will then open up the rest of the field for their perimeter players. I think you'll see a more balanced Denver Broncos attack, one that is a little more run-based with complementary play action. But I do believe the Broncos are well-positioned to make a run to get back to where they normally sit in the AFC West. I think it should be an exciting time for the Denver Broncos because the offense should be able to complement the defense. And when they play together. They're playing complimentary football. The Denver Broncos are always a tough team to beat.
Bucky, man, we appreciate you. Thanks so much for popping on and educating us, man.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on.
And there we have him, Bucky Brooks from NFL Network joining Schlereth and Evans. And love, love, love what he had to say about Royce Freeman, a guy that can do Kareem Hunt-like things. Yes, please. And, of course, we've got to go over Bradley Chubb's deal, the contract, immediate impact, and why some people may have the projections absolutely wrong for Bradley Chubb in 2018. That's next in Four Down Territory.
I want Mason Glory Hope.
This is Four Down Territory.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Pound it, launch it, and bring the funk.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
I want to kiss you.
Yeah. You just don't flop it out there and expect to perform like that.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
That feels unreal. I mean, still hasn't really hit me yet. I mean, went out to practice, did the deal and all that. Still really hasn't hit me. So I'm just still excited, still in the awe, head in the clouds, really.
Bradley Chubb signing his $27 million deal with an $18.1 million signing bonus stink. And it grinds my gears when people say, oh, he's going to get 10 sacks. Well, it's about disruptive dropbacks. And whether the sack number is 5 or 10, it doesn't matter, stink, to me. Bradley Chubb's here to make plays and to make quarterbacks uncomfortable.
Yeah, you know, obviously, numbers, people look at numbers, and, you know, and everybody, this is just the world we live in, you know.
Right.
In every sport, it's analytics, it's numbers, it's this, that, and the other. And you're 100% right. There are so many things that a guy will do, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if he got 10 sacks. You know, people are like, oh, not 10, but he should get 8. Like, what the hell's the difference? You know, there's, I mean, so it wouldn't surprise me at all because you have to pay so much attention to Von Miller, and you're going to get opportunities. But like I said earlier, you get maybe 12 legitimate pass rushing opportunities a game. Even if you drop back 35 times, there are so many balls that are out in 1.5 seconds, Cecil, that you, I don't care who you are, you're not getting there in 1.5 seconds. So he's going to disrupt things. He's unrelenting. His motor, the difference between why I think he could get 10 sacks, and I'm with you, if he gets 5 and he's super disruptive, who gives a rip?
Right.
But the reason I think he could is because when you put him on film, this dude has a motor like very few you will ever watch. Like, he is unrelenting in his effort. You put him on, you watch him backside, you watch him in plays that he has no business being in, and he's in the plays. So where most guys would be like, okay, play's over, he doesn't have that body clock on him, and that's one of the things that intrigues me. And you can get yourself 3 or 4 sacks that are just effort sacks when you play that way.
Stink, I want to see on this guy's chest. I want to be rookie captain. He's the leader of the new young core. Is that too much to ask a rookie to be a captain?
No, I don't. I mean, I don't think he'll probably get voted, but I think he can be one of those guys that has that kind of impact. You know, he may not have that. He may not get that C, but he may be the guy mid-season if he's playing the way I expect him to play, where guys are listening, they're expecting him to kind of lead them.
Next in 4-down territory.
Second down.
Here's the snap, dropping. Winston looking. Look out. James is going to run to the left, to the 10. He throws to the inside. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Mike Evans with a dart throw by Winston. Bucks take the lead late in the fourth.
There's your franchise quarterback, Jameis Winston, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, accused of groping a female Uber driver in Scottsdale, Arizona, now suspended the first 3 games, expected to be suspended the first 3 games of the year for failure to report the incident to the league. Not what you want from the face of your franchise, Stink.
No, and you know, that whole groping incident, he wasn't, the report came out in several verified. He wasn't in the front seat. He wasn't, you know, the alleged groper or whatever.
And right.
So all that stuff went down, but it really came down to, you know, I don't want to say covering it up, but not being forthright, not coming to the organization and coming to the NFL and say, hey, man, I just got accused of this. And, you know, I just want you guys to know kind of this is not, you know, fact. And so they're suspending him for not, you know, not being upfront, not telling him. Which, you know, there's part of you that understands that's the personal conduct policy. There's part of you that says, really? You know, anybody can accuse me of anything, and I got to come running to you guys to tell. But I guess that's the world we live in. It's unfortunate for Jameis Winston. And I know Jameis Winston has his issues in the past. And, you know, there's a lot of people that probably can't stand Jameis Winston. And, well, what a terrible leader, this, that, and the other. Listen, I've been to Tampa. I've called a couple of their games. I have watched him interact with his teammates. I have watched him, and I told this story on FS1 yesterday I'm probably not supposed to be telling it, but Jameis Winston, when the hurricane passed through Florida last year, Jameis Winston would not get on. The team chartered a plane to get their players and their families out of Florida.
Okay.
And there were a couple of guys and a couple of family members that weren't accounted for. And Jameis would not get on the plane until everybody was accounted for. They were like, we're going to leave. We'll find them. We'll take care of them. Don't worry. Just let's get us out of here. And Jameis said, I'm staying until every guy on my team and every family member of the guy on my team is on this plane. So I will stay here until we get that done. I'm not leaving. And so, like, they had a hold up until they got everybody. Like, that's the guys love playing with Jameis Winston. He needs to clear up he's a mistake repeater. He'll throw it into the same damn coverage two times, you know, and cause you an interception.
Right.
Because he's playing hero ball. But I'm just here to tell you, he may have some shady things that he's done in his past, but those guys love playing for Jameis Winston.
Next in four down territory.
Third down.
I want Mason Glory help.
Anyway. That never gets old, by the way.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It lives forever. Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, they want to host the scouting combine. Stank had a great time in Dallas for the draft, and yeah, Indy's Indy, but it's something we might see, the combine on the move.
They've had so much success. Like, the NFL is, sometimes they just, you know, step in poop and come out smelling like a rose. They've just had so much success with the draft and moving the draft around. And, you know, financial windfall, I'm sure there's a huge financial windfall. I'm sure these cities are bidding on it, you know. And so I'm sure there's a big financial windfall for the NFL. But it has, just when you think the draft can't be any more exciting, the last 2 years, Cecil, have been, like, it reconnected me. I used to cover the draft on radio for ESPN, and I covered it for a while on television, too, years ago. But it has re-energized the draft for me. It's cool. Like, the Philadelphia thing 2 years ago was
fantastic.
It was amazing. And then, obviously, Dallas this year, you were there, but, like, the TV, the whole thing to me was, it's phenomenal what they've been able to do. And if you can create that same type of buzz by moving it around and another, you know, and generate more revenue by moving it around, if you're the NFL, like, the system's already, you've already created the system, right? Why wouldn't you do it? I think it's great.
Yeah, make it happen. The Combine was started in Indianapolis years ago because everything's connected and the hospital's close. Well, yeah, hospital. You can do medical tests anywhere now. So move it around. Move it to Dallas and make it that made-for-TV event like it's already become. Next in four-down territory.
Fourth down.
Nope, I'm going to come up here. I'm going to be on time, and I'm going to get in here with the rest of the guys and be just another one of the dudes. And that was the biggest thing for me, was not slow-playing anything. Just, hey, this is what my situation is. This gives me the best opportunity to further my career. I'm going to go for it. And listen, at the end of the day, if it gives me a chance to get back to resume my career, you know, I don't mind fighting for what I want and earning my spot back.
There's Johnny Manziel talking about playing up in Canada for the CFL, for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And June Jones, coach up there, is now saying Johnny Manziel's growing up and should be in the NFL. Do you agree, Stink?
Well, I mean, I'm not around. I think he's gonna have to prove that he's grown up. Not growing up, but he's a grown up. And, you know, if he plays for a year in Canada and and can keep his nose clean and can handle that, then yeah, I mean, obviously there's a dearth of quarterbacks, as we know, in the NFL, and I don't think he's a starting-level quarterback, but certainly do I think he's got the skill set to be a backup somewhere? I think so. So, yeah, if he can show you for a year that he can handle playing in the Canadian Football League and that he can handle, you know, whatever celebrity comes his way and that he's got his life in check, then I don't have any problem with him getting another opportunity.
Celebrity up in Canada?
Yeah, well, you know.
Gonna have to sign a bunch of moose horns or what?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, Johnny Manziel's Johnny Manziel, you know? I mean, we'll see. How big a celebrity are you if you're playing Canadian football?
I don't know.
I'm sure there's some guys.
Can he outrun a Mountie?
I bet you Flutie was big up in Canada.
Flutie Flex.
Rocket Ishmael was, you know, for the Argonauts was big, right?
Okay.
Sure, they're, I don't know how big they are, really. They don't play hockey. People don't really know you if you don't play hockey in Canada.
I'll tell you this, hot CFL talk's a lot more interesting than List Radio. Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, joins us next to discuss Bradley Chubb and the real reasons why the Broncos defense could dominate in 2018. That's next. is Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos and Rockies insider, who joins us now on Schlereth and Evans with Cecil Lammy sitting in. Bradley Chubb signing that big deal, Troy. It feels pretty good to not have any drama as the Broncos are approaching training camp in about a month.
Yeah, it's nice with the slotting system now where you don't see holdouts. I mean, Joey Bosa had a brief holdout, but to not have guys missing camp, missing important time, when especially with the Broncos, you need him to come in ready, make an impact right away. What that looks like, I don't know exactly, but with Shane Ray hurt and Joe Woods essentially admitting they're going to do things to get Chubb on the field as quickly as possible, even if it's, in a, having certain responsibilities for him in this set, in this set. And I love that idea. Let's not say, oh, you got to learn everything, get 100% on everything before you touch the field. So I'm intrigued by Chubb, just how he's going to fit with Von Miller, Shaq Barrett, and then a healthy Shane Ray. I mean, this is a good spot for him. This is a really good spot for him to start his career.
Yeah, I've said before, I think that he may be in the best spot of any rookie based upon kind of where he got drafted and the people that he has around him. So I'm 100% with you. I think he's in a great spot. Considering the rest of the rookie class, will they all be signed before? Is there any concern about getting the rest of the class done, or is this just going to fall into line with that kind of quote-unquote slotting system that you talked about?
Yeah, it should. I mean, the only issues kind of left is guaranteed money and can it guarantee be fully guaranteed. I mean, there's just a few wrinkles that agents try to iron out, but it's really boilerplate stuff now, honestly. And if to hold out now, it'd be over, fully guaranteed at a certain spot and time, but it, the contract is the contract. I mean, it used to be you were negotiating everything, and you're trying to set a bar and change the parameter for the, maybe the guy behind you, or just get as much money as you could. That's not the case now. I mean, it's all literally, the projection prior to the draft, and it's always within, that window. So it's good for them. Again, I'm just anxious to see Chubb, especially when you talk about this, the fact he's going to a good defense. Now, they had their issues last year, at times, no question, especially on change of possession points, but this is a defense that's proud. It's humbled. Now it's hungry again, and you're adding a guy that's just an elite type talent. And I'm anxious to see how these pieces fit together for a team that has so much to prove, and has done it in the recent past. So what would that look like? I'm really intrigued by what Bradley can do.
I'm anxious to see what Royce Freeman could look like as the Broncos starting running back. He's the only left unsigned rookie though. It's like, all right, third round pick, what's the holdup here? And can we see Freeman emerge week one, Troy? Not later in the year. We know he could do that. But week one, in this battle in training camp with Devontae Booker, can Freeman, one, get signed? What's the holdup? And two, win that job for the start of the season?
Yeah, I can't imagine any scenario where he's not signed. I mean, he sees the opportunity in front of him. I talked to Royce at length at a one-on-one interview with him last week, or it's been roughly a week ago. He understands what's in front of him. And could he start week one? Absolutely. See, so again, we need to see the running backs in pads. That's one of the positions, but it's hard to evaluate until they get into pads. And does he make guys miss? How's he looking? Yards after contact. I mean, he looks the part right now as a guy who should challenge to start. There's no question. Devontae Booker is slightly ahead of him because of experience. But Booker has kind of proved he can make guys miss either at the line of scrimmage or, break tackles. He has not done that yet in his career. Now, maybe this is the year that happens for him. One of those guys you need it to happen for. But in Freeman's case, the negative is this idea he's had too many carries. And I understand Bronco fans see, oh, is this Monte Ball in terms of his college career? He ran so many times. And really, I talked to Royce about that, and he sees it as an advantage, at least early in his career, that he's been in multiple systems, he has experience, and he told me, I've seen a lot of things other running backs haven't seen. So I think, yes, so he's going to push to start, but we got to see those first few weeks. What does it look like in pads? Is it that everything translate that we're seeing right now that we saw the last couple months?
Troy, obviously, we've gone through this offseason, we've gone through the OTAs and the mini camps and all that stuff, and we've talked a lot about Case Keenum and what he has and, you know, how he's going to help this team kind of get to the next level, back to the playoffs. Do they have enough? Are they comfortable over there right now? If Case Keenum were to miss some time, a game or two or three, with the two quarterbacks they have backing up right now, do they feel like they could weather that storm with a Paxton Lynch or with a Chad Kelly?
It's an interesting question. They obviously remain bullish on Paxton Lynch because, frankly, what other stance do they have? He's their first-round guy. Makes no sense to bury him. Makes no sense to give him ultimatums. And he's under contract for this year. He's at a crossroads of his career. He's made progress. He had a nice OTA. There's no question about that. He's got talent. But could they survive a week? Yes. Could they survive a month? I don't know that. I don't know that. I'd have to see more from Paxton to know that. You know, and Chad Kelly's going to push. You know, he's going to give Lynch a push. But he's going to have to win that spot. If they're tied or close, it's going to go to Lynch. I mean, A, he's got more experience at that point. And B, he's a first-round pick. We know how this works. They're not going to, well, it was pretty close, and we're going to bench our first-round guy and make him third of string, you know. So he's had a nice offseason. And could they trust to play him a game? Absolutely. They've already done that. I mean, but would you trust it if it was multiple games and right. your season's, you're 4-6 or you're 2-3 or whatever it is, and now, hey, you're looking at him needing to play a month straight? I don't know the answer to that yet, and I got to see more. But this is a huge year for him to show he can take a step forward. And if not being an NFL quarterback here, being an NFL quarterback somewhere. I mean, he's getting to that point of his career now.
He is Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos and Rockies insider. And, of course, he's brought to you by Tranny Law. If you or someone you know been charged with a DUI, call for a free consultation, 303-333-1816, online, TRANILaw.com. Troy, I want to continue that conversation because it started here on this show. Mike Evans denied it, but it started here with a Dan Orlovsky interview where Orlovsky said, you know, Case was brought in and, oh, how he can help Paxton, and this is for Paxton, and that's why Case is here. Essentially, I'm paraphrasing, Big Al took it and ran with it, and we're running promos of Big Al saying, like, oh, yeah, this is setting up for Paxton to be the man, and Case will teach him, and Case will be that bridge. I don't see it as that. Where do you weigh in on this debate or this discussion that Case Keenum was brought here just to groom Paxton? Maybe not solely groom Paxton, but the answer at the end of this is Paxton Lynch. I don't see that. Do you?
I don't right now. I don't. Case Keenum was brought in to keep them from missing the playoffs back-to-back years for the first time since 1972. He was not brought in to, oh, how can he help Paxton Lynch? That's an ancillary benefit to this, that Case Keenum is a great teammate. He's been a backup. He's been a starter. He's one of those guys that pays attention to every detail. So if Paxton just watches how Case goes about his business, he would get better. I mean, that's how Peyton Manning is, you know, some great mentor per se. I mean, he was better perhaps later in his career. But if you just watch how a guy like that goes about his business and try to take some of that into your own game, you will get better. The attention to detail of Manning was the greatest I've seen in any athlete ever. But Keenum has similar quality, that everything matters to him. There's nothing too small in terms of what matters. And if you pay attention to that as a player in that same quarterback room, you would get better. But the idea he was brought in to make Paxton better, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Paxton's got to make Paxton better. Paxton's got to solve that now. He's a third-year quarterback in a league. There's no surprises in terms of what it takes to get ready on Sunday, what it needs to look like in practice, what you need to do to earn the trust of your teammates. All of that he controls. And to the idea that somehow Case is going to be the guy that makes that happen, I think that's, you know, is Case a great teammate? He is. But the idea that was brought part of it, I don't see that. Case was brought in to play like he did last year to get them back to the playoffs. That was 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. They're trying to win this year and rebound, and they need Keenum to play as he did a year ago. Because if he has under 10 picks, I've said they're going to the playoffs. If he has a 3-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio, they're going to the playoffs. That's Case Keenum. That has nothing to do with Paxton Lynch's development.
Hey, man, before we let you go really quick, because you talked about Paxton has to be better and he's got to earn the trust of his teammates. It just reminded me of the start that John Gray has today. I mean, how pivotal a start is this? Because he's been awful for 6 weeks. Just, I mean, even when he has a good game, you know, it's five or six runs in five innings, and, you know, it could be nine strikeouts before walks. So how pivotal a start is this for the Rockies? How pivotal of a start is this for John Gray today?
You're right, Mark. He just got to put his foot down. Forget who, if he's the ace. He's not this year. Kyle Freeland's their best starter, and he proved it again yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He's allowed two runs or less in seven of his 14 starts. That's what consistency looks like. For John Gray, he just needs to go out there and put his foot down. And if he, you know, if he just outpitched the other guy to when you leave, if it's three runs over six, but you feel like you're going to win when he leaves the game, that's what he needs right now. Don't worry about the numbers. It's just outpitching the other starter. And because here's why, and whether it's fair or not to John Gray, if you think you're a playoff team, you can't believe that if John Gray is not good. I mean, you cannot sit here with a straight face and say, oh, well, we're fine, we're a contender, and your top, you know, quote, pitcher can't get out of his own way. It was when Ubaldo had a down year when it was, 2010, when he just started off the season 0-6. The guys are looking around like, how can we be a playoff team when our starter can't beat a number five? You can't. That's the answer. If you're the Rockies, you're not going to go trade out at the deadline like other teams. So, yeah, John Gray, go out, put your foot down, win a game today.
He is Troy Rank, Denver 7 Broncos and Rockies insider. Follow him on Twitter at Troy Rank, and he's brought to you by Tranny Law. If you or someone you know been charged with a DUI, call for a free consultation, 303-333-1816, or online at TRANILaw.com. Troy, be good, baby. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it, guys. Take care.
And there we have him, Troy Rank, on our VIP line. And Stink, you seem to be pretty energized over what Bucky Brooks told us about Royce Freeman and maybe this guy being a sleeper in the draft for the Denver Broncos.
I do. Bucky Brooks, what he said about Royce Freeman. Go ahead, Ben, just play the Bucky Brooks and what he said about Royce Freeman.
He's one of my sleepers coming out in the draft in terms of he landed in the right spot in Denver. Denver needs a bell cow running back, someone that can kind of handle the workload. I think Royce Freeman is underrated, was underrated in the draft process. Big physical running back. Look, he can run inside. He can run with power, but he also has a little wiggle. He can catch the ball out the backfield. This was a big-time recruit coming out of high school, a guy that really put in a yeoman's job at Oregon. I think when you put him in this backfield and you ask him to get 18 to 22 carries, I think he certainly can handle the load. I think he's going to be an upgrade at the position. I think you can hang your hat on him being one of the top guys. I remember the last couple of years we've seen guys kind of come out of nowhere to be leading rushers. I do believe there's a chance that Royce Freeman could be that guy that does some of the Kareem Hunt type things that we saw last year from the guy in Kansas City.
The Kareem Hunt type of things, but here's what intrigues me the most, and this is what the Broncos haven't had, and we've talked about, you know, a third wide receiver, Cecil, and we've talked about the tight end and Jake Butt and what, you know, what he can bring. We've talked about the right tackle. We've talked about, you know, moving Ronald Leary back to left guard, so that'll help Garrett Bowles out. We've talked all these different issues. The biggest issue at the running back spot that I have noticed or that I think needed fixing from last year, and CJ did a tremendous job. Don't get me wrong. CJ did a tremendous job. Over 1,000 yards rushing, stayed healthy, can be a battering ram, had some breakout runs. The issue that I've had with the Broncos is they have not had a guy, in my mind, that gives you an opportunity to beat people through personnel groupings and formations, a guy that can do it all, a guy that can split out to catch the ball in the backfield, that can threaten you in coverage and also be the bell cow, but be nifty enough on third down and three if we stay in base to make you stay in base and we can still throw the ball out of that. And we haven't had that back. So based on that, the defense can dictate to you because we don't have that guy. And I think Royce Freeman could be that guy that on third down and three plus, you've got to defend everything.